Hi there. My name is David Huff, and I welcome you to Startling Confessions of a Recovered Addict. In this podcast, we will meet people, men and women in recovery, sharing their stories of hope and transformation. So I thank you for joining us. Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of Startling Confessions from a Recovered Addict. And in our first segment, we have Tom Chenault as our guest. He's going to share his story with us. Tom is an amazing guy, loving and kind and talented. He has his own radio show. He's a keynote speaker in front of thousands of people. And Tom, would you share your startling story with us?
Hey, everybody, it's Tom Chenault, and very happy to be here. Startling confession, you know, when it finally dawned on me what a despicable human being I really was, is probably that point that I knew I had to make a change. And I had climbed to the top of the ladder financially. And I'm looking down from the top of that ladder, and I realized that I was indeed at the top, but it was leaned against the wrong wall. And I was supposed to be over there. I was on top of the money ladder, but the integrity, the happy, the everything else top was over against that wall. And what was so tough about that is I'd taken so many people down in that complete drive up that mountain. I had no respect for money, for women, for marriage, for integrity, for my word, anything. It was all about chasing the money. And I did it. And I made it to the very top. In 1988, my income was $877,000. And I was broke. I finally got straight with my money in January of 89, and I realized I had spent $1,200,000, and I was a despicable human being, and I had to climb all the way back down, get sober, climb back down, and start over that long climb up that ladder. But I'll tell you one thing right now, David Huff, I wouldn't trade any of that for anything. The rise to the top, I learned what I didn't want. The climb down to the bottom, which was fast, I learned how bad it could get again. And I finally understood that it was time to turn my life around and become that human being I always knew I could be, which was the true Tom, instead of that idiot at the top of that ladder over there.
Tom, that is a powerful story. So money's not the answer. And for you, it looks like integrity, understanding your own values, what really makes you happy. And you found that when you got sober. Tell us just a little bit about that turning point. How'd that come about?
It's pretty simple. I was a big stockbroker. And money's great. I love money. I have a lot of money now. But money doesn't own me. I own money. It's not my master. It's just an instrument to give away, basically. To, you know, money's nothing. So please, all of you people watching this, don't think that I don't care about money. I love my life. I love nice things. You can see I love my life. And don't ever think you can't have money, because you can. You can have all you want. You can have all you need and all you want. So don't hear that bad. The tipping point was when I was a stockbroker, and my best friend was a bad drunk. Horrible drug addict, horrible drunk. And I went to his house. I called him on the phone. He didn't show up for work. He was a stock trader. And I said, "Where are you?" And he didn't answer. So I finally drove up to his house. And the homeowners association had gotten so mad at him because he was so rich, but he wouldn't paint his house, that they sent him a letter, said, "If you don't paint your house, we're painting it for you." So he called the painters and had them paint the whole house completely black. So I drove up to this completely black house. His wife had kicked him out. All the furniture was gone. I walk in the house. There's nobody there. On the counters, all the fixing for a dinner of some sort. I go, "What's going on? This house is vacant." I finally found him in the closet. He was laying on the floor. He was surrounded by booze bottles, snow seals for cocaine, and that turkey that he cooked. And he was unconscious. And he woke me up. I woke him up and I thought he was dead. And I said, what are you going to do? He says, you have to take me to treatment. I go, what's treatment? He goes, just call this number. And it was a treatment center called Cottonwood Hill. So I called the number and they said, come right now. And I drove this guy to the treatment center and we checked in, and it was the scariest thing I have ever seen in my life. I was petrified. The light bulbs were like 40 watts. The lady that checked him in was about 7'5" and just mean. And I was just cowering in my chair. They opened the door to take my friend and the guys grabbed me. And I went, what? He is the alcoholic. I am a highly reputable stockbroker. And they said, sorry. And they dropped me, but they were right. But I didn't know that. And so I swore I was going to stay sober while he was in treatment for that 30 days. And I broke the first rule. I sneaked a phone into him, which was just horrible. And so that's just a miracle that he's still sober too. And then I did all kinds of shit. It was horrible. And I'd go to the meeting and I swore that I was going to stay sober that full month. And then I swore that I was going to stay sober that day. Then I swore I was going to stay sober on the ride to the treatment center. And by the time it was over, I swore I wouldn't drink during the meeting I was in with him, because I was an alcoholic and I finally knew it. And it was such a great thing, because I didn't even know, which is even worse. I had so much money and I was on the skid row of success that when somebody would say to me, quit drinking, I'd say, no, you need to start drinking more. Look at how much money I've got. I was your worst nightmare. And but when it finally hit, when that hand grenade finally went off called, you can't stay sober, it was unbelievable. And I did not go to treatment, and I should have. I didn't even understand what any of it was, but I stumbled in AA and a bunch of people sat on me for a very long time and it worked out.
Wow, that is awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that. Such a story of hope. By the way, our podcast is for Sparrow Recovery Center, which Sparrow is Latin, I believe, or Greek for hope. So wow. Beautiful. Thank you for sharing your hope with us. Tell me, you've got this great life today. You're happy. It's about serving other people, giving back. Do you have some practice that helps keep you on the beam?
Absolutely. Love like crazy, then love more is my motto in my life. Fire your brain, hire your heart. I have got to be my complete true self. And left to my own devices, David, I start believing I'm half as hip, slick, and cool as my paycheck's trying to tell me I am. So every morning, early, I get up, I pray, I read a book. It's The Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox. I read that book. He's got a little daily reader there. There's a guy out there named Michael Singer from a book called The Untethered Soul and the Surrender Experiment. Mm-hmm. He's got a calendar, and I read those. And then I do a conference call for about 100 people every day. And it's all about what Sparrow is all about, which is hope. But that's hope in business and the whole shot. I get done with that. I do a Facebook Live video every day on what's on my mind. And it's usually not good. And I publish that to Facebook, and it's every day of my life. And it's just complete free form. I call it the 2-minute Tom talk. It's usually about 5 minutes long. And I just rip my own face off about what's going on between this incredibly dangerous area called my brain. Mm. And I get done with that, and that makes it 7:30 in the morning. And then I go to my AA meeting every day of my life, non-negotiable. And it's online these days. I have a group out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It is absolutely the highlight of my day. And then I get, that's my day. And so my day, by 8:30 in the morning, I am spiritually centered. I am fired up. I'm ready to go. I'm 69 years old. Mm. And I go out, and all I do is try to figure out how to stay out of my agenda and get into the agenda of other people. And I swear to you, this is true. My mantra, my practice every day is to have every human I meet, no matter where they are in life, feel better having met me than when they got there. That's a server. That's a Uber driver. That's anybody on the planet. That's not the hip, slick, and cool. I try to love everybody, and it's worked out for me.
I love that. And you mentioned in the beginning that love them like crazy, then love them some more. And that goes for everyone you meet.
Everybody isn't where I want them to be. David Huff isn't where I want him to be. My wife isn't where I want her to be. My son, my daughter, my other son. Nobody's where I want him to be. And I used to have problems with that, and I used to try to manipulate the universe. I finally got straight that even though they aren't right where I want them to be, they're exactly where God wants them to be. Mm-hmm. And once I understood how powerless over everything I completely am, 1,000%, the freedom showed up, because I don't have to play God. I don't have to control. I just have to be a loving bystander, doing all I can to serve what's going on this great planet of ours.
Tom, you are an amazing person. I'm so grateful that you took some time to come and share with us on the podcast. And I just wish you a beautiful day, and I thank you.
I thank you, David Huff. I have told you and so many people that you are a spiritual mentor to me. And when I found out that you were doing this big stuff with Sparrow, I said, just put me in the game, coach. I know you're going to do some big stuff with them. Whatever I can do to help you, I will. Whatever I can do to help those people there, I will. Because that's all life is all about. So I love you too. I love your family. You are an amazing man.
Thank you so much, Tom. Okay, so here we are for the second part of the podcast. Thank you again, Tom Chenault. What a beautiful job. And Tom mentioned this practice that he has, and he mentioned this mantra of his, the mantra of love them like crazy, then love them some more. I first heard him say that a couple of years ago, and it had such a profound effect on me to incorporate that into my own vision of what I'm doing here in the world, and especially where it had such a deep effect and made such great sense was with my adult children, that I'm not here to fix them. I'm here to love them. Love them like crazy, then love them some more. And Tom's a living embodiment of that. And so he mentioned his practices to start the day by reading some material that he finds beneficial and helps to move him towards or point to those principles of living open, loving, compassionate lives, which makes for the greatest manifestation of his true self. And I must say, years of practicing that, I always start the day with reading something that embodies these principles, and that I also, I do some journaling. And so what I would like to suggest for the practice, this thing benefited me so much. And it's a very, very simple practice. If you're interested in seeing how love can transform you, put it on your mind. Have yourself thinking about that. And so what I did was to just write out a couple of times, today I will love them like crazy, then love them some more. Today I will love them like crazy, then love them some more. So good idea to keep a notebook or a journal or something like that next to your bedside. But when you wake up, jot it down. Or if the first thing you do, which is more like me, go grab a cup of coffee first, then sit down. I have some writing materials. I've got a notebook that I take with me first thing in the morning. And I can write stuff down in it. So I hope you will find that a beneficial practice. Try it for a week. It just takes a couple of seconds to do it. and see if you don't start thinking along those lines. Love them like crazy, then love them some more. All right, friends, I hope you have a beautiful day. I hope you enjoyed our podcast today, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.